Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are finishing off Meseches Sukkah with Perek Hey Mishnah Ches. And then we're going to begin the next Mesechta. Very exciting as you begin Meseches Beitza with Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph. Now, after teaching the halacha in the previous Mishnah, Perek Hey Mishnah Zayin, that discusses that when a Yontif ends on a Friday or starts on a Sunday, and the Mishnah told us that in such a situation you can still get the Lechem HaPanim from that Shabbos on the Mishmaros, the Kohanim, for that are getting that Shabbos, they can all get that Lechem HaPanim as well. So now we're going to discuss what happens when a Yontif ends on a Thursday or starts on a Monday. It says the Mishnah, Chalios Yom Echad LaHafsik Beintayim. If one day separated between Shabbos and Yom Tov, meaning the Yontif ended on a Thursday or began on a Monday, Mishmar says Mano Kavua Haya Notel Eser Chalos, the two Mishmaros scheduled to serve that Shabbos, meaning both the outgoing Mishmar and the incoming Mishmar, would take 10 of the 12 loaves of the Lechem Apanim, the HaMisakiv Notel Shtayim and Konim of the other Mishmaros who were there in the Beis HaMikdash, either because they arrived early before the Yontif, or because they had not yet left after the Yontif, they would be entitled to two of the loaves of the Lechem HaPanim. Now the laws in all the previous cases, when Yom Tov falls either on Shabbos, next Shabbos, or a day removed from Shabbos, are exceptions to the rule. Now we're going to actually state the actual rule. Uvisharim Mos Lashana, however, on the Shabbos of the rest of the year, Hanichnas Notel Sheish Vayotze, Notel Sheish, the incoming Mishmar would take 6 loaves, the outgoing Mishmar would take 6 loaves. Rabbi Huda disagrees and says, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, Hanichnas Notel Sheva Vayotze, Notel Chamesh, that really the incoming Mishmar would take 7 loaves, the outgoing Mishmar would take 5 loaves. And that's the machlokas in terms of the Lechem HaPanim. The Bartanura points out we don't paskin like Rabbi Huda, namely, we would hold that each of both the outgoing Mishmar and the incoming Mishmar would each take 5 loaves of the Lechem HaPanim. Now, after taking its loaves, each Mishmar divided them among its Kohanim, and this division had to be done in a particular place, as the Mishnah is about to teach us, says the Mishnah, Hanichnasin Cholkin Betzafon. The incoming Mishmar divided their loaves in the north of the courtyard, which was a more prominent section of the Beis HaMikdash, where the holiest karbanos were shechted, to display that they had recently arrived and were ready to start their avoda. The Hayotzin Bidaro, and the outgoing Mishmar, who had finished their service and were ready to leave, they divided their loaves in the southern part of the Azara. Now, one of the Mishmaros was punished by being deprived of certain privileges, including the right to divide the Lechem HaPanim in the northern part of the choir. It says the Mishnah, Bilga le'olam cholekes badaram, the Mishmar of Bilga always had to divide its loaves in the southern part of the choir, even when they were the incoming Mishmar. V'tabatza kavua, and their ring, which held the various carbonos, the animals that are brought as carbonos, in place at the time of the slaughter, was fastened so that they could not use it and had to use the ring of another Mishmar, Vichalona Sisuma. And their closets, which look like their window basically, in which they store their knives, was sealed shut so that they could not use it and had to use the closet of another Mishmar. And Bilga was punished because of one of its daughters who rebelled against the Torah, the Jewish people, and the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Hadron Aloch, Meseches Sukkah. Now we're going to begin Meseches Beitza, which is primarily discussing the halachos of Yom Tov, various aspects of Yom Tov, Muktzah, and we'll learn different halachos that hopefully will be interesting. Now the first two prakim of Meseches Beitza are going to discuss a number of machloks and arguments between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel when it comes to Yom Tov. The first machlokas between them is going to be regarding an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. Says the Mishnah, Beitza shenol de b'yom tov, if an egg was laid on Yontif that fell on Sunday, Beis Shammai omrim teochel. Beis Shammai says that it may be eaten that day, even though the egg became complete, it became fully developed the day before, it can still be eaten on Shabbos. Uveitz Hillel omrim lo teochel. But Beis Hillel was of the opinion that you may not eat it that day because it was prepared for Yom Tov on Shabbos. That Beis Hillel learns from a pasuk, there is a halacha of hachana, of preparation, which requires that the food used on Yom Tov or Shabbos be prepared for the holy day on an ordinary weekday and not on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov. Therefore, if an item of food was prepared on Shabbos for a Yom Tov that occurs the following day, on a Sunday, that item lacks the preparation, the hachana needed to make it usable that Yom Tov day. It is therefore prohibited on that Yom Tov. Now, this hachana requirement is relevant in the case of an egg because an egg becomes fully developed, fully prepared within the hen one day before it is laid. Therefore, if an egg is laid on a Yom Tov that falls on Sunday, the egg becomes fully developed or prepared the day before on Shabbos and not on an ordinary weekday. Beis Hillel therefore rules that the egg is asur because it lacks proper hachana and it therefore cannot be eaten. It's considered to be mukta. Even though this preparation did not involve any actual melacha and it happened on its own, nevertheless, since it did not take place on an ordinary weekday, the egg may not be eaten on that Yom Tov. Furthermore, Beis Hillel holds that an egg is usher not only if it is laid on a Yom Tov that falls on Sunday, but even if it is laid on a Yom Tov that falls on any other weekday, even though there is no problem of hachana. And the Chacham were concerned that if an egg were to be permitted on Yom Tov that falls on any other weekday, people would mistakenly permit it on Sunday as well. They therefore prohibited it on the Erev Yom Tov, on every Yom Tov, no matter what day of the week it falls. Now the next machlokas in our Mishnah concerns the Yom Tov of Pesach. On this Yom Tov, a person, as we know, as we learned in Maseches Pesachim, is forbidden on a midaraisa level to eat or even to own chametz, dough that has risen. Beishalmi and Beisel disagree about the minimum amount of these substances that a person is forbidden to own on Pesach. Says the Mishnah, Beishalmi and Beishalmi say, Seor Bikizai is the smallest amount of sourdough that the Torah prohibits a person to own on Pesach is the volume of an olive. The Chametz, Bechoseves, and the smallest amount of Chametz that the Torah prohibits a person to own on Pesach is the volume of a date, which is larger than the volume of an olive. Ubeis Hillel, Ubeis Hillel say, Zevozeh, Bekizai is here, he's also going to be Machmir. He says this and that both, when it comes to sourdough and when it comes to chametz, the Torah prohibits one to own on Pesach the volume of an olive, which is the smaller volume. And we should just point out, as the Bar Tanura does, that both of these cases are situations where Beis Hillel is actually more strict than Beis Shammai, and these are some of the examples listed in Maseches Shabbos, where the Mishnah described how there was one time where the Talmidim of Beis Hillel and Talmidim of Beis Shammai were in an attic together, and ultimately they were able to, the Beis Hillel had more people than Beis Shammai, they went to follow the majority, and these were examples of such cases where Beis Hillel was more strict than Beis Shammai, and we follow Beis Shammai here. Have a great day.